welcome back to the Sean Green Show. I'm Sean Green. I want to thank everybody out there that's listening. Make sure you go to SeanGreenShow.com. That's SeanGreenShow.com. Make sure you go to our YouTube page. Make sure you follow me on Twitter at Sean Green Show. Make sure you definitely follow me on Twitter. I probably already said that. My mind is racing all over the place, and I promise you I would tweet more because people have been calling. It's like, you need to tweet more. You need to tweet more. So I'll definitely tweet more. On the Super Celebrity Hotline right now, Mike the Birdman Dive, video game correspondent, This Week in Geek.net. He joins us right now. Hey, what's going on, buddy?
Not too much. How are things going with you tonight, Sean?
Everything's going all right. I'm quite sure you already know about this, but it's been kind of announced that Jared Leto may be playing the Joker in Suicide Squad, DC Suicide Squad. How do you feel about that?
You know what? A lot of us were super skeptical when Heath Ledger got cast as the Joker for The Dark Knight. So seeing Jared Leto being eyed for the Joker, you know what? Not bad. Who knows? I mean, I think he was in that movie Dallas Buyers Club and did a fantastic job with that. So you know what? I'm saying, who knows? He could be awesome.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I said too. I'm like, you know what? He's kind of a chameleon, so I really want to see him do well as the Joker. Plus, I'm really pumped up to see Suicide Squad. It's one of those like comic book movies that, you know, people really don't know about. So I really want to see that. Also, one thing I definitely want to let you know about was I'm walking up north by the Argonne Theater. And for those of you that know Chicago, you know where the Argonne Theater is. And the first thing I see is they had a sign on the marquee of the Argonne Theater that said the Mark of Z, actually. And for those of you that read the Batman comics, that's also the movie or the theater that Bruce Wayne and his parents went to the night that they were murdered. So I'm guessing they're gonna put like a flashback scene in Batman versus Superman, which I think is pretty cool. So I'm really pumped up to see that.
I gotta say, I'm looking forward to Batman versus Superman. But I really wish DC would steer away from only focusing on Batman and Superman. Give me a better Green Lantern movie. Give me a Flash movie. Give me Wonder Woman. I already know Batman and Superman. We all know their origin. We all know their origin stories. Give me something different.
Okay, and there you have it from Mike the Birdman Dodd. I'm really pumped up to see it because. One has been filmed in my town, and you know, as far as Batman, I've been like a huge Batman fan. Now, one thing I will say is that I am kind of tired of actually seeing like the whole origin story, and I hope they don't. I don't see them like focusing on the origin of Batman since they're gonna do like a more seasoned Batman. So I'm thinking it's gonna be more of a flashback. So hopefully they don't focus too much time on that. Also, I definitely want to talk to you about this Assassin's Creed Unity. This is the first Assassin's Creed for the next gen console. What's the storyline behind this game, and did you like it?
Storyline? Well, I wish I could tell you because it's a lot of I don't care. You play a guy named Arno, and he was a boy who was orphaned by the assassins, who his adoptive father was the Grand Master of the Templars. He's murdered by the assassins, and he's looking for basically his killer because it involves his girlfriend, kind of, who was the daughter of his adoptive father. And you're going through 18th century Paris. You get involved in the French Revolution and with King Louis and all that, and it's a lot of I don't care. And for Assassin's Creed, a series that prides itself on this wicked, awesome storytelling, I don't care. And it sucks because last year's Assassin's Creed Black Flag with Edward Kenway, I can tell you the storyline to that one, no problem, in depth, in detail. With this one, it just feels like, go here, kill these people, defend this person, steal these, whatever. And for the first time, at least in my experience with the Assassin's Creed franchise, being stealthy, sure, it's an option, but I can Rambo through all these sections with my sword and my wheel lock pistol and kick the ever living crap out of people. Plus, Sean, it's something that I don't know. It doesn't feel very Assassin's Creed-y. I mean, despite the fact that it's going back to its roots where it's in an urban setting, kind of like Assassin's Creed 2 was in Italy and whatnot, whereas Assassin's Creed 3 and Black Flag open things up to more of kind of a sandboxy environment. It's just, I don't know, the fact that you can buy your way to victory in this game, you can use these things called Helix credits, where you can purchase through the game's in-game store.
Wow.
If you're willing to spend $100, you can pretty much buy the best weapons and armor in the game and walk through this game. Now, I did the cheesy way, not doing it that way. I found there's this thing called social clubs, which kind of ties into the game's cooperative multiplayer, which is actually kind of fun. But you can buy these social clubs, and they'll generate money for you, kind of like how you could in Assassin's Creed 2. You could have your estate kind of generate money and with the shipping lanes in Assassin's Creed Black Flag. And so I just sat there, read a comic book, and every 20 minutes I'd get like 30, 40 grand or something. And eventually I bought myself a katana and this wicked-ass pistol and all the best armor in the game, and I'm just walking through the missions going, you can't touch me. And it's okay, and that sucks. I wanted to love this game so much because, like you said, it's the first Assassin's Creed generated specifically for next-gen, and it's just sort of thing. I mean, it's a game that's maybe a rental at best, which really sucks because I love the Assassin's Creed series, but once I do all the kind of co-op missions and I play with the multiplayer stuff a little bit and I get all the achievements for it, I don't know if I'd go back. I mean, graphically, this game is beautiful to look at. When things don't screw up, mind you, because there are a lot of glitches being reported right now. If you type in Assassin's Creed Unity glitch, you'll go to NeoGAF, which is a forum board. You will see the stuff of nightmares. You will see the character's teeth floating there, his hair and his eyeballs. It looks like you're kissing something out of Evil Dead. And it's utterly terrifying. Although, the best glitch I had happened to me last night. I was walking through a less populated part of Paris. Sean, have you ever heard of the song Gundam Style?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
There was a guy, I swear, full-on dancing Gundam Style doing that little horse giddy-up animation, and I wish my cell phone was charged so I could have grabbed a screen capture of it, because I sat there and watched him for a couple of minutes, and I'm thinking, man, this is really happening. And
yeah, I'm looking at it right now. Oh, my God.
I mean, it sucks, though, because this game, it can be fun. It can be really cool, especially when you go through these other sequences where you visit other time periods because the Abstergo or the Templars are trying to hunt you down. I ran up the side of the Eiffel Tower while being shot at by Nazi Spitfire planes.
Wow.
That was really cool, and I jumped on top of the Zeppelin thing, and that was really neat. When the game does its cinematic pieces, it's really cool. But narratively, it's just a lot of, I don't care, now, and that sucks.
Now, Mike, let me ask you this, because a lot of people felt that Unity was just another clone of Assassin's Creed Brotherhood. Do you feel that's true?
It seems like it to me. I mean, it does things better in certain ways. I mean, it definitely feels more cooperative when you can have a bunch of your buddies working with you, but you can't just hire people to come out and do your battles for you. If there happens to be friends of yours around, they'll help you fight, but you can't just walk up, pay them some money, and they'll go kill people for you. It seems like you're doing a lot more of the dirty work now, but you also, your guy Arno doesn't feel as well armed as Ezio has been, or Edward Kenway, or even Connor. He just doesn't feel as well-rounded an assassin as those guys did. In fact, you actually have to purchase abilities like the double assassination. So, like, if you jump off a building and stab two guys in the back of the head, you have to buy that now.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's kind of a weird leveling system, which I don't mind so much, but it turns out, because I played this game very, very backwards, I did all the side missions first because I decided, you know what, I want to be super powerful so I can walk through later parts of the game, which once again led me to being super cheesy and unlocking all the best armor fairly early on. And it's just, I don't know, man. I don't know, something went wrong.
I've never been a fan of a video game that you purchase, and then when you get the video game, they want you to purchase more stuff. You know, I've just never been a fan of that. I think it's a cheap shot to people that are really into video games. You know, you spend $60-$70, and in some cases, people get the $100 version, the collector's edition, and you got to spend more money. So I just think stuff like that, they should totally just leave that out. But that's just my personal opinion.
I mean, it's not to say the collector's edition of this game isn't cool, because it is. And even the kind of digital version, when you buy the season's pass, you'll get this down the road. You'll get a separate adventure set, I think, during China or something like that. And that's going to be wicked. But I don't so much mind you being able to buy certain weapons with real-world money, but I don't like the fact that there's a $100 option for this. And that sucks. Like I said, I wanted to love this game, and I only ended up kind of liking it. It's kind of like... Trying to figure, how would I describe this? It's kind of like the girlfriend you went out with once, and she was kind of okay. You'd maybe call if you were bored.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if I'm going to return this phone call.
Right. Yes, I mean... No, go ahead.
The Assassin's Creed series, it's really endeared me to the fact... It's made me interested about real parts of history, about the American Revolution, about the height of piracy in the Caribbean, and even stuff during the Italian Renaissance. And it's not to say that the French Revolution isn't interesting, because the historical backdrop in this game is interesting. Just the main narrative isn't. Now, I'm kind of hoping one of the side characters gets her own story in this. And I'm not going to say too much more than that, because I don't want to spoil it for you.
Right.
But some of these plot twists, you'll see coming a mile away.
Now, can I ask you a question? And I'm going to mention another title that we talked about like weeks ago. And you mentioned this about Assassin's Creed Unity, is that, you know, as far as the storyline, it was kind of, you know, you couldn't really tell what the storyline was. And when you said that, it kind of brought me back to Destiny, in which you played the game, and when you play the game, you're not really sure what you're supposed to do or what the storyline is. Do you feel that the games that they're being released on these next gen consoles, they're just putting it out there for the money grab, and you know it has cool graphics, the multiplayer modes may be cool. But as far as campaign modes and storytelling, they're kind of lacking on it. Do you feel that's true?
I'd say maybe for certain titles. At least in the case of Destiny, it's designed to be a narrative that has a 10-year plan. Whereas you look at something like Assassin's Creed Unity that actually has this more tightly knit narrative, that in one game you should be able to complete the journey of Arno from start to finish. Kind of, but then again, Ezio got three games to himself, but that was one full arc. You got a complete story in each game, and you felt satisfied with it. I think this may have just been a misstep, you know, along the way, because every yearly franchise can have an off year. I mean, look at Call of Duty,
for example.
They're finally getting back the stride now that they've changed things up. So maybe when Assassin's Creed whatever comes out next year, which it inevitably will, we all know this, maybe it'll be better.
Yeah.
So I'm really hoping that in the future the narrative for these games continues to get stronger. But to me, it feels like they've got a lot to live up to, especially after Assassin's Creed Black Flag. And even the side story of Adewale, the slave turned master assassin, and his 5 to 6 hour DLC that was included in the season's pass last year, which I think was called Freedom Cry.
Right. All right. Let's move on to Halo, the Master Chief Collection. Let's do this really quickly. All right. This was recently released for Xbox One. What is included in this collection, and what are some of the improvements you saw in this title?
Well, you are getting the four core Halo games that tell the story of Master Chief. You're getting the remastered Halo Combat Evolved. You're getting Halo 2, which has been completely overhauled in terms of graphics and cutscenes. You're getting Halo 3 and 4 running in 1080p at 60 frames a second. And they're great. Honestly, Halo 2 is the main reason people will buy this, because that game came out 10 years ago. Seeing the changes now to having it on the Xbox One, it looks nice. Not as nice as it could look, but well enough. The cutscenes, I think, are the real reason to check this title out. I mean, the Gravemind looks absolutely disgusting. The Flood looks like a legitimate threat for a change. The multiplayer, there's over 100 multiplayer maps in this. So you're not going to be bored in the very least. And it brings a lot of extra content to Halo. You're getting the first episodes of Halo Nightfall, which is the Ridley Scott-produced series, which is premiering on the Halo Channel, which is an app you can access via the Halo Master Chief Collection. Basically, what I would consider this is the primer to get you ready for Halo 5 Guardians, which comes out next year. Now, you do get the Halo 5 beta, which starts just after Christmas, I think, with this, which is very smartly timed, I might add. Now, I don't know whether I consider this a reason to buy an Xbox One if you don't own the system already. If you own the system, getting four games for like $60, $70, that's a pretty good value.
Oh, yeah.
But I imagine next year there's going to be a bundle which will be called something like Master Chief Saga, which will have a themed Xbox One with Halo Master Chief Collection and Halo 5.
And there you have it. Mike Berryman, video game correspondent, This Week in Geek.net. Make sure you check out Assassin's Creed Unity. Rent that in Halo Master Chief Collection. Hey, man, thanks for joining us.
Anytime, Sean, if you want to catch me on the interwebs, you can do that on Twitter, @BirdmanDodd, and Instagram, once again, BirdmanDodd.
We'll be back right after this.